John chapter number 2. Everybody stand, reverence to the reading of God's word. John chapter number 2. We're going to look at verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come to your house, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just use the words that I have prepared this morning, Lord. And if I need to change them, I pray that you would help me to change them. God, I pray that you would just use your Holy Spirit, Lord. I don't want to preach in my power, but in your Holy Spirit's power. And God, I pray that you just help those here today, Lord, that may need this. And Lord, I believe all of us could use it and it could challenge all of us. But God, I pray that if there's anybody here today that's not saved, that they would be saved. And Lord, I pray that you would just be honored today in everything that's said. Help the junior churches, help Brother Jeff as he's out there, and just be with him. And pray, Lord, that you would be honored in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have here the story of Jesus, and this is recorded. If you look at verse number 11, the Bible says that the beginning of miracles, okay, this is the beginning of miracles to Jesus in Cana of Galilee. So this was his first miracle. Now, I don't know about all the rest of you. I know I'm a very carnal person. But if I was Jesus, this would not have been my first cool thing that I did, okay? I always thought, I mean, if Jesus is playing ball, wouldn't there be some temptation to use, you know, the deity power to play basketball? I mean, forget Michael Jordan. I mean, that would be so cool. But I understand, you know, he's God and he doesn't have the carnal inclinations that I do. So he wouldn't do that. I mean, playing football with Jesus on your team would be awesome, okay? But I don't think, the Bible says this was the first miracle that he did. However, somebody knew that Jesus could do this miracle, and that was his mother. So I don't know what happened at home, that some glimpses into Jesus' life, you know, where, you know, maybe they were running out of food or whatever, and she goes to the fridge, not that they had fridges, but she goes in and she looks and there's, you know, whatever oil that they needed or whatever they need to cook. And I think something in the back of her mind knew that, you know, it's one of them things that, remember how the Bible said that Mary kept all these things in her heart, okay, pondered them. So Mary knew that Jesus could do this. Nobody else did, but Mary knew. Because if you look at verse number 3, Bible says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. So that's all that Mary told Jesus is, son, they don't have any wine. Now, this is not talking about a fermented beverage. This is talking about grape juice, okay? Jesus would not create a fermented beverage, okay? That's not what he's talking about. This is talking about grape juice. But still, Mary comes to him and she says, Jesus, they don't have any wine. And she leaves it at that. She doesn't ask him to do anything at all. She doesn't ask him to make, you know. But then she goes over to servants and she says, whatever he tells you to do, go do it. Okay? So Mary had a lot of faith right here. Mary had a lot of faith. And there's a lot of stories that you can pull out of this. But the one thing that I want to do this morning is I want to talk about falling short. Falling short. If you look at this parable, what happened in this parable? They fell short of wine. They were having this big party and they were drinking all this grape juice stuff and they ran out. Well, all of you know running out of anything is a bad thing. Okay? I went yesterday and I ordered the cheeseburgers and french fries. And my worst fear is, you know, we're going to run out. Have you ever, let me just ask, have you ever been to our church get-togethers? I think that the worst fear of every lady is they plan something and they're not going to have enough food. That's like the worst fear. So we've got like, you know, 40 pots of soup and, you know, 500 desserts and we got, you know, 20 people come. It's like, wow, that's a lot. I'm eating leftovers forever. You know what I mean? My mom, I love my mom. She's great. If you ever go to Thanksgiving at my mom's house, I mean, you would think she bought Walmart out with all the groceries. I mean, she has to have like four tables with all the food on it. And it's like, Mom, there's 10 of us. Well, I wanted to make sure we had enough. We've got enough for 3 weeks. All right? She doesn't want to run out. And I think most ladies can associate. You know, you don't want to have guests over, and then I was exaggerating, by the way. She don't have four tables. She's got two. You don't want to run out of food. That's not a good thing. You know, I ordered cheeseburgers. I ordered 250 cheeseburgers and fries. You should have seen the look on not the manager's face. She understood what was going on. But when the order, because she's like, I'm going to put this through on the screen. You know how they read the screen in the back? I want to put this through on the screen just to watch what they do. I was like, oh, this would be awesome. So I'm watching all these people. You know, they're burger flippers, okay? And they all, almost simultaneously, they all just look at the front. I was like, wave at them. 250 hamburgers, 250 French fries. A lot of food, okay? But you know what? I've got plenty today. I've already got probably seconds for all the workers anyway, all right? But, you know, I didn't want to run out of food. I mean, that's bad. I remember a couple Easters ago, we do the balloon launch thing, right? And I had checked the helium tank like a week before, okay? And I don't have a pressure gauge for nothing. I just crack the lid and it, you know, blows helium out. I'm like, I got helium. I didn't think about it. So the guys are filling helium up and they come and get me and say, bro, Chad, there's no helium. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Don't kid me like that. It's not funny. Like, there's no helium in the tank. I was like, the valve's broke. We got to fix the valve. So I went down there, you know, I'm going to fix it. Well, there's no helium in the tank. Okay, it's gone. So I don't know what happened between, you know, a week. Some, you know, there's all the church kids, you know, something down there. I don't know what they're doing, but I mean, my helium's gone. We had to postpone our balloon launch because I ran short of helium, all right? So it's never a fun thing to fall short, okay? And I think most of you can relate to, you know, there's been times in life where you didn't have enough to what was required for you to have, okay? You know, kids, you want to play basketball or something, you have to meet a certain criteria, and if you don't meet that criteria, you've fallen short and you're not allowed to be on the team. Well, in John chapter 2, during this feast, they have fallen short. They have fallen short. Now I'm going to show you three other places in the Bible that they fell short of what they needed to have. They fell short, okay? I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter number 2. I'm going to start back here in the very beginning. This is probably one of the first instances that chapter 4. Genesis chapter number 4, one of the first instances that somebody fell short. They didn't have enough. They didn't have what it takes to meet the criteria. Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1, Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." This is a story in the Bible. God said, okay, you have to have sacrifices to atone for your sin. And Cain said, oh, that's easy. I said, I'm a farmer. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to take the very best tomatoes or cucumbers or corn or whatever it is, the things that I have worked really hard. Because listen, Cain had to till the ground up. He had to plant the seed. He had to keep it cultivated and keep the weeds out. And he had to do that. It was a work of his hand. And he thought, well, I'll give God the best that I got. So he goes and he takes, I can just see big platters. And he takes it and he sets it on the altar. And then Abel over here, his brother, he knew the principle of God, just like Cain did, that you needed a sacrifice to atone for their sin. So Abel went and he got a sheep. Now there's something about livestock. Yeah, you can take care of them and you can guard over them, but you can't really control the birth process and you really can't control the growth process. There was nothing that Abel did with his hands that really atoned the way it should have. And the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel and to his offerings, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Now, Cain put a lot of work into what he did. He did. Cain worked hard. By the sweat of his brow, he worked hard. And I can imagine he brought this and he thought, this is the best I've got. This is the very best thing that I have, and I'm giving it to you, God. And God says, sorry, you fell short. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. Well, and Cain got mad. Fine, it ain't good enough. And he never got right about that. But Cain fell short. Cain fell short. Matthew chapter number 25, I'm not going to read this whole story. Matthew chapter number 25. You know, Cain tried to bring something that was a result of the work of his hands. The folks at the marriage in Cana, they were out of all their resources. They had no place to go. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 1. The Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. But Chad, what was the problem with the foolish virgins and the wise virgins? They ran short of oil. You know, the Bible says, I believe, according to the Bible, they all originally came with oil in their lamps. Because later on it says that some of their lamps went out, and ere the lamps had gone out. So they had oil, but what happened? They fell short. They didn't have enough. What they had brought to meet the bridegroom was not enough. It was not enough. They fell short. And like I said, that's a bad feeling when you've fallen short. I mean, every test that you take in life, or you know, when you was in school, if you didn't have enough points to pass the test, you fell short. I mean, everything in life, you have these instances where you fall short in life. Another story, Matthew chapter 19. You're right there in Matthew. Flip back a few pages. Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 16. The Bible says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus saith, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He's like, I've got all this. I'm not short. What am I missing? What am I missing here? Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Brother Chad, what's this talking about? Is this talking about you can get to heaven by giving to the poor? No. This man, his problem was the same problem as Cain. He said, I've done all these things. Hey, listen, young people, this man, if in Bible times there was a Blessed Hope Baptist Church, he would be sitting where you guys sit. Well, I'm not a bad person, Brother Chad. I didn't say you were. He said, I didn't commit murder. I know. Okay, that's great. I didn't commit adultery. All right, that's great. I haven't stolen anything. Well, that's commendable. Most people have stolen something, whether it be time or something. You've stolen something. Okay, that's good. You're supposed to not bear false witness. I don't tell lies. All right, good. Honor thy father and thy mother. I do. All right. But all of that, Jesus comes to the end of all of that, and he says, you're still lacking something. You're still lacking something. Young people, listen. I don't know how to convey this properly, but my worst fear is we get to heaven and there's young people or adults that sat under this roof that we're sitting today, that when you stand before the judgment seat, you fall short. You fall short. Now, there's a lot of ways you can fall short, okay? There's a lot of bad people that will be in heaven. There's a lot of bad people that will be in heaven. What we consider, he's a bad person. Hey, you know the thief on the cross? He's in heaven. He didn't have opportunity to go work for his salvation. But he's in heaven. But you know, on the other spectrum of that truth is there's a lot of good people that'll be in hell. I would dare say there's more good people in hell than there will be bad people in hell. Matthew chapter 7. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Brother Chad, I'm a good person. Good. I think you're a good person. Hey, you came to church, but the rich young ruler probably went to church every Sunday. Do you go every Sunday? Do you go every time the doors are open? He did. And God said, you're still lacking something. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 22. Look, I want you to read this. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Man, that's pretty cool. I've never done that stuff. Okay? I've not really prophesied about anything, okay? I preach the Bible, but I don't prophesy. I don't prophesy about things. I've not cast out any devils. I've cast out devilish children, but I've not cast out any devils. Okay? I've not cast out any devils, all right? I've not done many wonderful works in the name of God. I've not done miracles. That's what that's basically saying, miracles. I've not done that. So this person's better. He's a better person than I am. But look at verse number 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. What's the last four words? Ye that work. Let me ask you something right here. If Jesus, they did all these great works, right? Remember? They prophesied in my name. They cast out devils. They've done many wonderful works. But what did Jesus say? Ye that work iniquity. Listen, folks. God doesn't see the good things that you do. I'm not saying he doesn't see them. But when it comes to what gets you into heaven, it's not the fact that you've got 5 million good things. It's the fact that you got one bad thing. And that's what God sees. He didn't say, well, yes, I understand that you prophesied in my name and that you cast out devils and that you did wonderful works. The only thing I see, ye that work iniquity. Hey, folks, there's the best person in here, and it's not me. The best person in here will fall short of what God has for you. You will fall short. Because the thing is, it's not that, well, what do you mean I'm going to fall short? I'm trying. I'm doing the best I can. Won't that count for something? No, it doesn't. Because you have to hit a certain level. And you know what that level is? Deity, perfection, holiness. And none of us can do that. I can't do that. Okay? So all these people in the Bible, they have fallen short. You know, Cain fell short just because, listen, talk about two better parents in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying they did everything right, but two people that saw God face to face, these were two of the only people that ever saw God face to face, and Cain was one of their kids. Well, Brother Chad, I've got good parents that go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Congratulations. Cain and Abel's parents saw the face of God, but Cain still fell short. Cain still fell short. Hell will be populated with people that went to church or grew up in church. Romans chapter number 3. You knew I was getting here. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you can attain, Brother Chad, how do I get to heaven? You got two ways. You can attain to the deity and the holiness of God, or you can accept a gift, which we'll get to later. Well, I guarantee everybody in here, if you look at me, you've not attained to the glory of God. I'm going to use a practical illustration. I like to bow hunt. I'm not real proficient at it, but I like to bow hunt. All right? I bought this bow when I got married, so it's been 7 years ago. This bow is the last sound that a lot of deer have ever heard. It's quiet, fairly. I mean, it's not a new bow, but it's a fairly quiet bow. But this bow is the last sound that a lot of animals have ever heard. Okay? I've killed a lot of, this is not a fancy bow, and I'm not an expert shot. But this has killed a lot of animals. Okay? Now, if I'm out target shooting, okay, if I'm practicing for going on a hunt, all right, let's say I always start out, you know, I'm terrible. I do some bow fishing, so that kind of keeps me in, you know, for the rest of the hunting season. But I don't really start practicing till, you know, end of September, you know, September 31st, you know, something like that. I'm terrible about practicing. I'm not. But when I start practicing, I'll start maybe shooting at 10 yards, okay? And I could put them in there all day long, you know, size of a quarter, 10 yards. So then I go back to 20 yards, and I start having to use my pins more. All right, I've got the old style system. I just got, you know, three pins. All right, but I'll go back to 20. I think one's at 25 yards. So I go back to 25 yards and I shoot until I can get all my arrows. I can get three or four arrows. I usually only start shooting two because then you start messing your arrows up. But, you know, a couple arrows in the size of a quarter. And then I'll go back to 35 yards and I use a different pin. So I'll be shooting, you know, couple arrows at 35 yards until I can get them in the size of a quarter. Well, Brother Chad, the kill area on a deer is, you know, 8 inches. Well, yeah, but you don't have the adrenaline rushing and, you know, all the things that go into it. So, you know, aim small, miss small. So I go back to 45 yards. Now, I'm reaching, Brother Nathan, I'm just honest with you, I'm reaching the limits of my comfort zone. Brother Nathan, he can plug something, you know, 100 yards or whatever it is away. And he's shaking his head. He's real modest. He's like, no. But I know he can, all right? He's like the deer slayer. But so I go back to 45 yards. Now, 45 yards for me, honestly, and part of it's my eyesight. I don't have real good eyes. I'm not real steady. And I just don't take the time, honestly. The trick with Nathan is, you know, if he's shooting, I'm going to tell your secret. If he's shooting bullseyes in competition, and this is what a lot of guys do. It's not just his trick. You know, your arrow has to be touching the circle or the X. So his trick is he uses real fat arrows so that if he doesn't quite get it, because his arrow's fatter, it gets closer to the target, all right? I mean, you got to use what you got to use, all right? But, I'm shooting 45 yards. Now, I cannot consistently hit a quarter-sized target at 45 yards. Not consistently. Can I do it? Yes. I've split arrows at 45 yards, okay? I can do it, but not pull it back every shot. I'm not that good, okay? And part of this, I don't practice. I'm going to blame my equipment. It's the bow, okay? It's the arrows, you know, that type of stuff. The release didn't go off right. You know, all the typical things. You know, string to hit my arm, all those things, okay? But Brother Nathan, he's a great shot. He can shoot. He shoots competition some, and he's a great shot. But if I'm shooting, if I'm using my 20-yard pin, my top pin, okay? If I'm using my 20-yard pin and I pull back on a deer at 75 yards, and I use my 20-yard pin, I can guarantee you one thing will happen. I'm going to fall short. Because despite my best efforts, if I put that pin right on that deer, my arrow will fall short. I can have the perfect form. I mean, no branches in my way, nothing in my way. I mean, breathing right, squeezing the trigger, letting it surprise me. Everything that the bow people tell you you have to do to make the perfect shot, I did it. But my arrow never even got close to that deer. Never even close. Now, let's say, well, Brother Chad, what about the guys that can shoot that far? Okay, there's guys that can shoot over 100 yards. I have no doubt about it. I'm not one of them, and I don't try. Okay, I just know me. I don't try that. But there are guys that can shoot over 100 yards. But let's take a guy, and I want you to picture this, because we're talking about falling short. And it's not that they're not trying. But they take a shot, and you know, long bowmen, they would talk about long bowmen in ancient days. They could shoot, I just read something the other day, some of the Egyptians, they could shoot over 500 feet. Hello, that's almost 200 yards, and they could hit targets, all right? That's pretty good shooting. But let's say they took their bow, the best archer that there is, the guy that can shoot the farthest, I don't know what kind of scope he's got or sight he's got, because I can't even see that far well. But he's shooting his bow at, let's say, 200 yards. And he can hit something. You take the same bow, the same archer, and you put a target half a mile away, will he ever hit that target? No. It is impossible for him to hit that target. He could shoot his bow straight up in the air, but he will never hit that target. It is impossible. There is not a bow that you can make that will shoot, humanly pulled back, that will shoot half a mile. You can't do it. You know what, folks? It's not that we don't try. You know, you ever all heard the story about the little boy that was shooting at the moon? And you've all heard it. I'm not going to, you know, an older man comes out and says, young man, what are you shooting at the moon for? He's like, you'll never hit that. And the boy said, well, I'm getting closer than you are. And you know what? Yeah, he's shooting at the moon, but will he ever hit it? No, he'll never hit it. And you know what? That's the way our righteousness is to God's holiness. You can pull back and you can do everything that you can. I'm a good person. Hey, my parents go to church at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Great. Maybe you've got all the advantages in the world. Maybe, well, I've done this right and I do this right and I'm a good person, Brother Chad. Good. There's a lot of good archers in America and across the world, but none of them can hit a target at half a mile away. It's impossible. You know what, folks? That's the way our sin and our righteousness is to God. We pull back, and every day we come out, and we do our best, and we shoot, and I did pretty good. I hit the bullseye. Yeah, at 20 yards. Oh, I hit the bull. I did really good today. I hit the bullseye at 45 yards. Congratulations, 45 yards. But you can't shoot a half a mile with it. You can't shoot a half a mile with it. You know, our sin is the same way. Some of you are sitting here, Brother Chad, I'm a good person. Well, the rich young ruler was a good person too. Brother Chad, I've got good parents. Cain had good parents too. Brother Chad, I hang around with a lot of other Christians. Yeah, so did the foolish virgins. They were hanging around with Christians too. Well, Brother Chad, isn't there something? No. You fall short. You've fallen short. There is nothing, 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 nothing that you can do that will take you to heaven. There's no list of good works. There's no magic formula. Nothing that you can do will take you to heaven. It does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter to God. Because that's not what God compares. He looks not at your good, but ye workers of iniquity. The evil. Doesn't matter. You cannot and will not ever attain to the holiness of God. That, my friends, is the one thing that God looks at. Hey, is this person equal to me in my holiness? Would anybody in here make the claim that I am equal to God in my holiness? You raise your hand and say, I'm equal to God right here. Right here. I've done everything. I'm just like God. Well, that reminds me. Wasn't there another man who said, I'm like God? He made this big speech and he said, oh, I'm like God. The people cried out and they said, it's the voice of a God. And he's like, well, since you mentioned it, I am. The Bible says, while he sat there, he was eaten alive by worms. So go ahead, raise your hand. Who's equal to God? I really want to see it. I think it would be awesome. That's like the one story in the Bible I want to see. I mean, like maggots start coming out. It's like, whoa, bad day for you. I mean, that would be awesome, I think. I mean, not for the guy, but for everybody watching, it'd be pretty cool. No, seriously. You make that claim? So if you're not equal to God, which is the only way you could go to heaven, then, excuse me, but that means there's one other place you go. That's to hell. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Brother Chad says. That's what the Bible says. When compared to God's holiness, we all, including myself, we all fall short. We're taking the shot. Take the shot, and you fall short. And God says, "Up, sorry, no bullseye. You go to hell." Simple as that. You say, that's very frank, okay? The Bible is a very frank book, okay? I'm gonna take you on a trip in your mind, okay? I have an overactive imagination, so just bear with me on my overactive imagination, and you can have an overactive imagination, all right? But there comes a time when everybody, according to the Bible, everybody dies, am I right? For it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. So we're all standing, and I want you, if you could, imagine that you're standing before God Almighty up in heaven, and you're standing there, but you're not standing there as yourself. There's two of you up there. Brother Chad, what are you talking about? Okay, you're standing, you see yourself standing in front of God. So it's like you're off to the corner over here, and you see yourself standing in front of God, and God looks, whoops, there's my bow. God looks at you, all right? God looks at you with the eyes that find everything. God looks at you and you cannot hide anything. You think you're proud and you think, well, God will never listen to me. You stand before God and all that pride will be washed away. Well, I'll just look down. I don't think that you'll be able to look down. You standing, you watch yourself standing in front of God and God looks into your very eyes and he's watching you. This is going to happen to every one of us. I'm just painting a picture for you. You stand in front of God and God looks into your eyes. And I don't know. The Bible says that all the deeds of man that are done in secret will be made manifest. I don't know what that means. But let's say, for instance, that we did have a projector screen. I took it down. But let's say there's a projector screen up on each side. And you stand there and you're watching that projector screen. And every action that you've ever done, good or bad, is displayed on that screen. Every thought, every word, every motive that you've ever had is displayed on that screen. God's watching it, and you're made to watch the same thing. Picture after picture. Well, there's some good things in there. Sin, sin, sin. Sin, sin, a blur. Jesus Christ, God looks at you. The picture's done. The last picture that you see on there is the last thought that you had before you took your last breath. Could be sitting in Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you had a heart attack. Could be you walk out in the parking lot and a car hits you. Could be you get on the church bus and you're on your way home and God forbid it had an accident and the last picture you see is the bus rolling over before you meet eternity. And you're standing before God and that was the last thing that you saw was that picture. And God looks at you and He says to you, you have fallen short. You haven't met my criteria. You've fallen short. You are guilty. You're guilty. At that moment, a couple angels come from the side. They come and they walk towards you. It's not a good thing. You look for a place to run. You look for somebody to help you. You want to cry out and you want to scream. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide. You can't look to your mom who's standing behind you. You can't look to the neighbor that's standing next to you. You can't look to the person that's sitting beside you right now in the pew and say, help me. There is no help. Oh, wait, I'll ask for forgiveness. God, please. God looks at you and said, April 23rd, 2017, that was your chance for forgiveness. No more. No more. Because folks, listen, I'm giving you an opportunity today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the next 10 minutes. Neither am I. Will you stand there and those angels come and they grab you and they take you over to a pit, to an abyss, a pitch black abyss. The smell of melting human flesh comes out of that abyss. The cries of excruciating pain from people that are in such pain but will never be alleviated come out of that pit. As you get nearer, there's no light at all in the pit, but there's an intense heat. Those angels pick you up and they hurl you into that pit. And you fall and you fall and you fall and you fall for the rest of eternity. Your flesh feels like it's melting off your body, but your body doesn't change. Forever. Your mind is still there. That is a terrible thing. You'll remember family. You'll remember friends. You'll remember the things that you've done. And you will remember April 23rd, 2017. Forever. Forever. The next person in line. I'm just going to use me as an illustration. I could use scores of people in here. Next person in line. And this is something that should challenge us as Christians too. I don't know, like I said, I don't know how God will make known the things that were done in secret. But what if I stand? You're standing behind me in line and I stand before God. And the screen comes up. And picture after picture after picture. Listen, the good that I've done and the bad that I've done. I'm no different than you are. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Just for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I watched the good things I've done. I've watched the evil thoughts that I have thought that nobody else saw. I watched them flash across the screen. I watched the words that I have said flash across that screen. I watched the people I have hurt and their heart and their broken heart, I watch it flash across that screen. I watch the people that I've never witnessed to, their faces flash across that screen. I watch it all. Picture after picture. And God looks at me. You know what God says to me too? You've fallen short. There's sin on that picture. Because of that, you are guilty. I look in terror. I can almost imagine. I can look in terror as those angels come to take me, as I just watched them take another person. Maybe that sat beside me at church. They come to take me. They come to grab me, to throw me into that pit. All of a sudden, a voice from beside the altar says, "That's my child. He is forgiven. See my hands, my side, my feet, with my blood, I bought his pardon. That's my child, and he is free. There is now no condemnation unto them who are redeemed. With my blood I bought his pardon. That's my child. And he is free. Those angels turn around and go stand back by the pit. And Jesus comes down and he takes me by the hand. Is it because of the good things I've done? No. I'm no different than any other sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And you know what? That's the only thing that's different between me and the person that got cast into hell is the grace of God. Is that grace? Let me ask you this morning. Put yourself there. Well, Brother Chad, there's going to be a lot of good things on that picture. Doesn't matter. If you have fallen short, and all of us will, for all have sinned and come short, the angels will come and they will take you and they will throw you and you will be there forever. What's the difference, Brother Chad? The difference is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God. Hey, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the gift of God. Neither do you. I don't deserve it, but it was a gift. That's the whole purpose of a gift. A gift isn't worked for. If it's something's worked for, it's not a gift. If Cain worked for it, it wasn't the gift of God. It's got to be a gift. But you know, I can't force you to take a gift. Young people, I can't force you to be saved. Church young people, I can't force you to be saved. It's something you have to accept. I wonder if one of the thoughts of that person burning in hell, I think we could prove that it's probably true from the rich man and Lazarus, is I wish I wouldn't have been so proud to stay in my seat. Young people, this is what happens. We're going to have an invitation here shortly, and I'm going to tell you exactly the feeling, young person or adult, the exact feeling that you're going to have. We're all going to stand, and you know in your heart that what Brother Chad said this morning is true. Because you know what? It's not because of me. It's because the Holy Spirit beareth witness in your spirit. The Holy Spirit will draw you to himself. And you've got something in your heart that says, I need to do what Brother Chad said. It's the way the Holy Spirit works. That's what happened to me. And you're going to stand and you're going to grip that pew in front of you until your knuckles turn white. And you're going to be like, what are people going to think? What are people going to think? It doesn't matter what people think. It matters what happens when you stand in front of God and he says, guilty. Is there going to be somebody that steps up for you? Says, whoa, I've forgiven him. That sin's gone. We can erase that video now. Because all you can see now, God, is my blood. Which one are you? Do you know you're saved? Do you know 100% sure that if you died and you walked out those doors, that you would go to heaven? If not today, April 23rd, 2017, I believe with all my heart that everyone that is lost will remember every single opportunity that they were given to be saved. I believe that with all my heart. Will you remember April 23rd, 2017 as a glad, happy day or as a day of regret? Man, I should have done that. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. We thank you for helping us, God. We thank you for the atonement that your Son gave to us. God, your Son came to this earth and lived a life that he didn't have to live in order to buy me back, in order to pay my penalty. God, thank you so much for that. Lord, I have without a shadow of a doubt, and there will be people in this room this morning. Statistics simply tell us that there will be people here this morning that will stand before you and say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And give a list of good things. But then God will look at them and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God, there will be those in this room this morning. Holy Spirit, I hope I preached with my heart. God, I pray that they would be saved before it's too late. I pray that they would realize their need of you. And God, I pray that you just bind the devil right now. He wants to put pride in all of our hearts, and he wants to put embarrassment or anything like that. God, I pray that you would just work among the people. Lord, I hope that maybe some Christians in here had somebody flash through their mind that they need to go tell about you, Lord, before they fall too short. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the sacrifice that you gave to us. In Jesus' name, amen.